Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
He is a siren.
You're disagreeing with me, but acting like we're in agreement, and I don't like it, honestly.
Lore Boys here. Welcome to the podcast. My name is James Miller, and I'm joined with
Peter O'Donohue, at home, chilling in the frigid May weather here in Canada. So glad it's 8 degrees Celsius. God, I love this.
Technically June, but the coldest June 1st on June 1st morning on record. So there you go.
Really. It was like 3 or 4, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 2 degrees at some point, 2.7 something. Hi, everybody. My name is Ethan Palmer. I'm another host of this podcast. Like I just said, it's June 1st, 2020. This episode's coming out on June 3rd, 2020. Obviously, some crazy things happening south of the border for us as Canadians. We just wanted to say, everyone out there protesting, fighting the good fight, please stay safe. And we on this podcast firmly believe that Black Lives Matter, and we support the cause fully. Don't want to spend too much time on it, but just wanted to give a shout out to everybody doing the good work.
Keep it up. I also want to point out that I nodded in agreement to Ethan on webcam like an idiot. Of course, an audio platform.
He speaks for all of us.
Solid solidarity.
Yeah.
So today, guys, we will be covering something we've covered in the past.
What else are we talking about, Jamie?
Some kind of crazy borderland where there's all these psychos running around on the loose? Come on.
Yeah, we're talking about Borderlands again. So this is something we covered, I think, in episode 3. So if you've been listening since then, that's really cool. If not, that's all right, too, because we're going to cover a lot of the world building and, like, really quickly what happens in Borderlands 1 and 2, and then kind of work our way into what starts off Borderlands 3, The Children in the Vault, and kind of set the scene. We won't ruin anything in the game. There's a couple twists and turns I don't want to cover, but we will set the scene. So if you do want to play the game, or if you have played the game and want additional context, it'll be there.
Okay. It's kind of
our whole brand.
Why does Aeris have to die, though, James?
Oh, man. I went back to play Final Fantasy VII recently, and I thought her name was Aeris for a long time. So now I just feel like I have a lisp. Yeah.
I love you, Aerith. That's kind of more like Cloud was deaf. Like, yeah.
Oh, no. Sephiroth stabbed you.
Yeah.
The confusion comes from...
Sephiroth stabbed you with a thorn.
Cloud is really big into astrology, and Aerith is actually an Aries. So, you know, it's...
Okay.
There's a lot of overlap there. So you're not wrong when you call her Aries. But...
Okay, good.
Is it good, though? Are you enjoying it? Quick review.
Oh, Borderlands 3?
No.
Final Fantasy 7?
Final Fantasy.
The remake.
Oh, yeah, the remake, I've been loving it, and I just don't pick up my PlayStation enough anymore to have gotten through it. But every time I've played it, I'm, like, super involved, having an awesome time. It's a reimagining. Yeah. I was almost going to do this episode on Final Fantasy, but I just ended up finishing Borderlands 3 before Final Fantasy, so maybe next time in the rotation, that's what we'll cover. We can get deeper into it. It's really good.
I've been apparently living under a rock because I didn't realize that The Last of Us 2 comes out in like 2 weeks, and I really wanted to replay the first one before it came out, before I jump into it. So now I'm just like,
you also wanted to buy a PlayStation at some point.
I was like,
too,
I got
right?
2 weeks to buy a PlayStation 4, find a copy of The Last of Us 1, and beat it before The Last
just
of Us 2 comes
out.
Right?
Yeah,
that's true. But
you wouldn't download
still the PlayStation 4.
You wouldn't download a PlayStation.
Right? Sorry. The Lore Boys do not endorse piracy. While we're on the things that we are in favor of, I am anti-piracy.
Yar, we'd never support it.
Yar, no, never.
Cool. So I guess we could hop right in. This is going to... I'll set the scene of, like, Get your drinks ready, because there's going to be ancient aliens, ancient and old rocks, magic rocks. Mm-hmm. I think this is probably where some of this started, was Metroid
think
episode.
This was the first Magic Rocks episode, right?
Yeah.
No, because Team Fortress 2 had it. Yeah.
Team Fortress 2 has Australium, which is a magic rock. Does the Zelda origin not also have like some kind of split crystal that became the Triforce? Like, it's been rocks. It's magic rocks all the way down.
It was the three goddesses that became the Triforce, right? In Ocarina of Time. That's the story that they tell at the beginning. They're like Din, Faror, and Nehru became a piece of the Trident, the Triforce. So not magic rocks, but I think Borderlands 3 was the first time we established the pattern, and like any kind of pattern between the games. Zelda does have ancient robots, so maybe in another one we brought Zelda or ancient robots back to Zelda and made that a drink as well.
Yeah. Well, so millennia before the events of Borderlands, there was a highly advanced civilization known as
Iridians?
The Iridians. You guys remember?
Yeah.
Well, one
I've
of us remembered.
I've also played Borderlands 1 and 2. I've played the first two games.
I've played one and two. I've beaten one, never beat two. I got pretty close. I like rescued Angel, no spoilers, but when you fight for Angel, it's that really annoying fight with like the pistons that come out and you have to shoot them.
Yeah. I think you can spoil Borderlands 2 a little bit at some point. I mean,
We're
9 fucking years ago.
Yep.
We're going to cover Borderlands 1 and 2, like not in detail, but there will be a little bit of spoilers. If you guys haven't played the games, though, they're also Borderlands 1 and 2 are free right now on Epic Games Store, and Borderlands 3 is like heavily discounted. I think
on
it's
50%
off. Yeah. So you can, like, it's a really great time to get into the Borderlands series, because it's like there's not very much money that you need to spend. Borderlands 1 and 2, you can think of kind of like Mad Max. There's like just people running all around. Instead of oil being the resource, it's Iridian, which is like a magic rock.
Magic rock.
All right. Yeah.
Is this when we're doing the drink for it? So,
as much as you guys want. I don't have a beer today, so I don't have any steaks.
You take a drink in spirit at the very least.
Yeah, exactly. Or I'll pour one out for the homies.
Yeah. So this is like the type of atmosphere. You're kind of in a wasteland. Killing is the way to get everything. If like there's loot, there's tons of guns. I think they set records for most guns in a game for Borderlands 1 and 2 and probably 3, just because there's so many different iterations of guns and different families of guns.
From what I understand, it's because they built a bunch of different model pieces that all kind of just like spin a wheel and get assembled assembled randomly, which is why like there's visually like something stupid like 300 million guns, but like functionally they have a set amount of stats. Like your legendaries might look different and shit, but like they get a random roll of polygons. Right,
it's
your
like
Jacob's guns are always going to do the double the damage, but it's going to have four attributes that are randomly rolled, so maybe it'll have elemental damage, maybe it'll consume 2 ammo per shot, maybe it'll throw a grenade when you reload it, and there's all these different combinations of things that I guess also have a visual aspect of it.
I know stylistically they're all consistent with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the Diablo series where it's just randomly generated like guns essentially. And it's exactly like you say. They all have pieces, and it's just which pieces did you end up with on this drop kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is why like most guns in a video game just seems like the most arbitrary like record to break. Like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know, we have most rabbits in our video game, like Rayman Raving Rabbids. You're like, okay.
I mean, that's fine. You can take that.
We have the most Mario Brothers in our video game. Like, great.
Skyrim might have the most cabbages. I don't know any other games with a lot of cabbages.
With that many cabbages? I don't know. Yeah. Has
Cooking
anyone ever
Mama,
counted them?
Maybe.
Cooking Mama, maybe.
I saw a Reddit post where a guy collected all the cabbages he could in a game and just put them into a room and then opened the door and all the cabbages came spilling out and
the game just
lagged. Yeah. Yeah,
it's like one of those like I filled my roommate's bathroom with cabbages prank. Sexual. And it's just like, oh no, Lydia, like crushed to death.
But not the kids, because they can't die. So.
Yeah.
Oh, you can mod that.
I know.
I guess as we're getting into this, I'll throw a thank you to one of our fans, Darnell, and a friend, I would consider. He helped me through the game a lot, dropped me a few guns, we played together, had an awesome time. And also Mermy, who's a new listener, and we beat the game together. All
was that the Frenchman that I heard here in Mobile Provence?
Yeah, he's from somewhere in Quebec, and I met him in WoW. Yeah, met him in WoW, but we ended up playing other games together.
I met him in Gatineau when we were just complain about Ottawa.
Hey, t'aimes ça, le Ragnaros, quand ça drop des choses, man?
We were sitting outside, we were having some labatt and smoking McDonald's.
Yeah. really, really cool guys, and both of them helped me through the game, and we played together, had a lot of fun, so let's get into it.
This may roll.
Millennia before the events of Borderlands, the Iridians were around. They're said to be neither gods nor demons, but people who are literally able to pluck stars from the sky.
Okay.
So, ultra powerful, but neutral, I guess.
Kind of like gods, right? If you have the power to pluck a star from the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess they say science. Yeah. They created Pandora. So Pandora was not a planet that was round. It was made. Pandora and its moon Elpis was in an effort to stop and imprison the cosmic entity known as the Destroyer.
As Unobtainium.
Yeah.
It was that, the Destroyer. So, you'll get into it. Never mind. I was going to go off. He was like, is the Destroyer? But no.
Okay. The Destroyer is like the main bad guy in the first game.
Yeah.
It's the last boss, right? It's the octopus.
Yeah. You're a vault hunter and you open the vault and it's like, squid goo.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. It's the last chapter of Watchmen, the graphic novel. It's a squid.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the planet itself was constructed with an impenetrable but unstable iridium mantle. So iridium is like the currency, pretty much. It's like the good money. Like, you can buy upgrades with this stuff. It's like this purple rock, basically. Magic rock. Yeah.
In 2, you have like credits, and then like if you get the iridium, it's like you get this like it's the special currency.
Right? Yeah, mm-hmm. There's bitch money, and then there's king money.
Exactly.
And is the king money, right?
I think in 2 you can use it to like upgrade the amount of slots you have in your bag, how much ammo you can carry
stuff
per
like
gun
that.
Type.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And things
you get like
that.
Character perks rather than like you can buy guns with regular credits, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in 3, the way that it works is that is all spent with like the money currency, like the gold is where how you get your upgrades. So you can upgrade your backpack and all that stuff. Iridium is used for cosmetics. And also, there's this gun that you get somewhere along in the storyline that you can put 10 or 15 or however many iridium in, and it'll just shoot a bunch of guns out the front. So it's like a way to roll for guns, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, okay, that's cool.
That is the most Borderlands thing that I've heard, though. A gun that just shoots a bunch of random guns out. Like.
There was a video I watched, because I know there's like the guns all have different manufacturers, which governs their art style primarily in the first game.
I can give you a quick rundown of all the types and what they do if you'd like to.
Afterwards, because this guy did a specific thing where he's like, can the TDR brand gun are like advertised as being disposable garbage, so you don't reload them, you throw the gun away and it blows up. Some guy on YouTube beat the entire game Borderlands 3 using only TDR reloads.
Nice.
So he would fire one bullet into the sky or into the ground and then just throw his gun.
Nice, dude. Yeah. TDR does that. There's Vladoff that has higher fire rates. There's Torg that has explosive damage.
Yeah.
Jacobs has high damage. You actually meet the Jacobs family in Borderlands 3 and you go to their old-timey mansion.
Because that was
all steampunk and stuff.
The wooden guns. They're like the Old West. Yeah. The revolvers, you like fan the hammer and shit like that.
When I played, I was all about the Jacobs.
Yeah, me too. I have one that it's like a Gatling gun kind of thing, but it all looks very steampunky. And you kind of, there's a, what do you call that when you do this on the side?
A crank.
Yeah, a crank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jamie was miming a crank.
For the listeners at home.
Yeah. So you crank it and it fires like faster and faster the longer you're shooting it. And the damage is just so high. It was crazy gun. I had a lot of fun with that one. Dahl has burst fire while zoomed in. Hyperion has increased accuracy while firing, so the longer you fire, the more accurate it becomes.
Yeah.
Spray and pray. Maliwan has elemental damage, although
other ones, Stan.
Yeah, Malywan's good early game in Borderlands 2, but then later on, other weapons have the chance to roll elemental damage anyways, so you can just go for a Jacobs with elemental rather than Malywan.
I was a Malywan stan because I main Siren, and Maya, I think is the name of the Siren in Borderlands 2. She gets, one of her skill trees has like a elemental damage and SMG buff, and I like SMGs in general. I like the compact gun design, like in that, in I played Warzone for a bit in the Division 2. I've always mained SMGs just as a machine. I think they're neat.
Yeah,
nice. And Malywan was really good with that.
Yeah, TDR explodes like a grenade, we talked about that one. And Bandit have like really big magazines. Bandit actually becomes something different in Borderlands 3. It becomes Children of the Vault, so COV. And we'll get to that. That's where we're going to kind of finish the episode, is talk about the Children of the Vault. But the Bandits kind of all...
What about Atlas? They're like the premium, the big dick white guns.
Yeah.
The ivory ones.
I actually don't have it on this list. I could type it, but it's going to make a noise. Let me see.
So let's all listen to this. Let's all hush and listen to the sound of Jamie's ASMR keyboard.
So Atlas... Yeah, Atlas is like really important. Like they're the first ones who actually arrive and like find all these guns. I'm not sure what the perk of their gun is.
They're bad guys in the first game, right?
Yes, and they're actually like you follow their story in Tales from the Borderlands too. So that's you get to go to the Atlas Corporation, and you also get to meet Reese, who's a character that joins in Borderlands 3 and stuff. I don't know very much about Atlas though. I kind of know. Yeah.
I know a dog named Atlas.
Me too. I take care of him sometimes.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Boy.
And his owner listens to the show. Hi, Vince.
Yeah. Hey, Vince.
Yeah. To continue, the planet was constructed with an iridium mantle, so this now valuable substance just covers the entire planet. And there was a giant iridium weapon known as the Warrior, used to protect it from those who attempted to stop the Iridian's work. So the Warrior is the boss in Borderlands 2 with Handsome Jack.
Right, yeah, it's like the big salamander thing that you fight in the volcano.
Right.
Well, spoilers, I haven't beat it yet. I told you guys. Come on, what the hell?
There's a last boss. It's a dinosaur.
No, why would you tell me there's a last boss? I was looking forward to finding that out on my own.
Yeah, I was hoping for an anticlimax. Super expectations. Randy, you got me again.
I wasn't hoping for it, but maybe I was expecting one.
Oh, yeah. Well, subverting something, expecting a subversion of expectations would result in a boss battle, because the boss battle is the thing you were originally expecting to be subverted. Boom.
That's too cerebral for me.
Yeah. It's just a double negative, basically. It's a double negative.
Why Brick so handsome?
Do you guys know why the Iridians would make a planet, or what Pandora was used for?
To house a big squid
to
monster.
Imprison the squid.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, good. I'm glad I told you.
I mean, you told me it was to imprison an octopus. If you just subverted my expectations.
Yeah, subverted your expectation of subversion, then here we are. Huh?
Did you lie to me earlier?
Yeah. So a siren named Nereid completed the sealing of the destroyer. So the destroyer is the big octopus dude, leeching all the collective energy of the Iridians to perform this monumental task at the cost of their lives and civilization. So Iridians died to seal the destroyer away in Pandora forever.
Right. And sirens, because we mentioned it a few times now, are like iridium witches, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's my next point, actually.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll just to clean up the destroyer real quick before we get to sirens, to keep the destroyer fed and sedated, the Iridians spread rumors of what became known as the Vault to lure unsuspecting treasure hunters to their demise every 200 years. So the Vault can only be opened every 200 years. Via a vault key, and there's ways around this, but that's basically the baseline. Little is known what else the Iridians have done to the planet, but there's other ruins and vaults, like with the Guardians, the Warrior, so we can guess that this was made as basically a remote prison for other dangerous entities as
they
well.
They did other things. They did some fracking while they were at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The water quality's all gone to shit.
turns out, yeah, you can burn the tap water, but there is a lot of shale gas. There's a lot of shale and natural gas underneath that octopus. Yeah. So if we crack around it, we're pretty sure it can't get out.
Yeah.
And then, you know, wreak havoc on the city and maybe destroy our civilization.
Yeah. So the sirens, they are categorized by usually having, usually they're women. They have tattoos up their left arm.
Are they not always women? Is there a male siren?
They're usually women. We'll get to in Borderlands 3 why they're not always women, but they are known as only women most of the time.
Okay.
Yeah. They're in Borderlands 3, one of the bad guys is a male who was a parasitic twin to a female who was born a siren. So he got, like, he's a siren light, even though he's a male.
Okay. Siren adjacent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's quite powerful too, and we'll cover more about them in a little bit.
Okay.
For now, we'll set the world that we're in, and the Sirens live side by side with the Iridians. This is stuff that we learned in Borderlands 3. We didn't know much about the Sirens and how they came to exist before now, so This is new information.
Awesome. Are they human? No.
We don't know, but they lived side by side with the Iridians, yet neither the Iridians nor the Sirens themselves know where the Sirens came from. They have different powers. Like, one of them, Lilith, is like a firehawk. She does like a lot of fire things.
They have different powers depending on the game you play. Lilith sucks. Maya is okay. And the newest one looks rad as shit.
Yeah, there's like phase shifting. Some of them can make like giant hands come out of the ground and like smash their opponents and stuff. Yeah.
It looks like Siren a lot. She looks so fucking cool. And I was really happy that, like, her powers got upgraded, because I was saying when I was watching your stream, like I mentioned earlier, I'm a siren main in Borderlands. You don't feel like a demigod at all in Bland's 1 and 2. Your powers are basically worthless.
I mean, that's kind of the case with, like, a lot of games, right? Like, it's kind of a meme where it's like... Yeah, where it's like, oh, you know, bad guy when you fight him in the campaign, and then bad guy when you unlock him as a playable character, and it's like,
yeah,
it's whatever, the buff Doge versus, like, the little crying Doge on the side.
Yeah, the Sirens are very powerful, but to, like, varying degrees as well. Like, some of them can phase shift, so, like, they're really good at walking through walls, like, healing themselves. Some can make, like, fire shoot out of their hands. Some of them can, like, have kinetic energy. And the bad guys in Borderlands 3 actually have the ability to steal other sirens' powers. So,
okay,
that's like that's their shtick. Yeah, they steal other sirens' powers, and like I guess in theory could take at any given point. There's only supposed to be six sirens in existence, but we find out in Borderlands 3 that there's actually seven sirens in existence. So if one dies, their powers are either willingly passed on to another. Or if they're not willingly passed on, they go out into the universe and they'll just find someone. And then they become a siren.
Like some kind of energy angel, then they possess someone and gift them their powers sort of thing?
Yeah, like they touch the ball in Space Jam.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sweet. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Was Michael Jordan a siren in that movie?
No, he didn't steal the powers.
Is that what the documentary's about? Is him giving up his alien powers?
Well, he didn't, though. That's the thing. Michael Jordan was fine. It was like Bugsy Smalls and Larry Bird. It was like Charles Barkley. It was those ballers who lost their powers.
Oh, okay.
Michael Jordan was untouched. That's how he could defeat the Toon Squad.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because he who was without sin, cast the first ball.
Okay, I said Toon Squad. I meant lead the Toon Squad to victory over the Monstars.
Yes.
Right. But that's next week's episode, so let's not get too deep into that. Yeah.
There's a new Space Jam movie coming out. I mean, I would love to do Lore of Looney Tunes one day.
Dude, yeah. I rewatched it on Netflix recently and remembered so many quotes.
For the past 3 years that we've been doing this, my girlfriend has been asking, if you guys do Space Jam, get me on that shit. So warn me in advance so I can have her prepare.
Because
she has a bunch of crackpot theories about Space Jam.
She'll finally get a spot on the show. I mean, it's a tough listening to land, honestly, the lore boys. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So we
you
find out
with my shit for three years. Yeah. Still
you have to date Peter for 3 years and you still might not make it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, baby, of course. You can get on whenever you want. Just let me know.
Yeah. So we find out that there was never six sirens, there's actually seven in existence. And whenever, like, Handsome Jack said there was only six, but he was wrong. We find out that there was seven. And the one that is the seventh, Nereid, the first siren, warns that the seventh siren should never be found. So there's one out there that we really shouldn't find for unknown reasons.
Cool.
So maybe Borderlands 4, Borderlands 3 DLC, who knows? But there's a crazy powerful siren out there and probably evil.
Put them in a bag labeled Dead Dove Don't Open.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jason Bateman, the last boss of Borderlands 2.
So that's kind of setting the world. We had the Iridians. We have Iridium, which is the magic rock. We know that there's seven sirens out there. And now we fast forward to more like closer to where the game starts. There's a company called Atlas Corp, and they discovered this ancient alien technology on the planet of Promethea. So they use these ancient artifacts to reverse engineer technology into what other than guns? So they make a bunch of guns.
Of course, of course.
Yeah.
They make the best guns. Nobody else's
guns. All these
guns
rocks have clocks on them already, so we don't need that. We might as well make guns.
Yeah. This launches them way ahead in the guns market because they have this new technology and they make like
lasers.
A gun that consumes two bullets per shot.
Yeah.
A gun that when you reload it becomes a grenade.
I mean, the two bullets per shot is such like a efficiency, you know, like
that seems like a racket. Right,
the ammo dealers wanted it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Why not take one bullet and split it into two, half your ammo consumption, you know?
Or I mean, you could have like the barrel have like a little slicer in it just to get a little spread.
Yeah, right? But something that Murphy brought up is really funny. Shotguns, they have like a big spread when you shoot them from the hip, but whenever you look down the sight, they have a tight spread. How that works,
nobody knows.
Alien technology.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, shotguns are really strong long range in Borderlands. It's kind of stupid. Like, if you just look down the sight, you can just shoot this, like, you can get headshots from a quarter mile.
I mean, shotguns. So that's, like, more realistic to how shotguns work. Like, they're used to hunt. Like,
they're used for killing birds.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's why they have the spread more than anything. Right?
You get deer shot, too. Like, you kill deers with them.
Oh, buckshot, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But like birdshot is, I mean, that's the only thing I've ever hunted with, which is to kill something that's in the sky. Right? Like that's the point. Like, video game logic has like the invisible barrier in front of every shotgun that turns like shotgun pellets at a certain range into like
dust.
Mist.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
There's glitter.
The Geneva Convention has stipulated that shotguns can only have an 8-meter range.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So this launches them way ahead in the guns market, and they make a ton of money. They keep researching, and they find out about the planet called Pandora. So they're really interested in Iridian tech, and they find a planet that's made by the Iridians. They don't know this yet, but they know there's a vault there. So they head off, and they start colonizing Pandora. Other companies catch wind of this, and they follow suit, because capitalism. And they this includes DAL, D-A-H-L.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they had an important xeno-archaeologist, which is a cool title, by the name of Patricia Tanis.
Yeah. I played the first two games. I like Patricia Tanis. She's... The writing in Borderlands has always kind of... I have a love-hate relationship with it. It's pretty good. Like, the intros are all really great for basically every character.
Yeah.
And then you kind of realize that's the only thing whoever works on these things can actually write. Because it's just because they're all a little bit too one note in a lot of circumstances.
I found the side quests were better written than the main story in Borderlands 3 anyways. Like, I had a lot of fun doing a couple of the side quests that I did and like found myself like chuckling out loud. But the main story, kind of left a little bit.
Handsome Jack, to be fair, is one of the best written villains in games. He is fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
So, like, he just comes up here, talk shit every once in a while, and then just, like, hangs up. It's just, like, out of nowhere, too.
Yeah, it just all throughout the game, he's just calling you to taunt you.
One of my favorite parts where he's clearly eating, Yeah. And for some reason, he calls you to harass you and tell you about his horse made of diamonds.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the butt stallion, yeah.
Oh, hey, buddy.
How's it going?
It's just like, it's just my favorite thing where he's just like whatever, he's got like a bowl of stew or some shit. And he's just like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fuck with this guy I failed to kill.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say, though, I think one thing that I like about the Borderlands writing is that, yes, they're one-dimensional, so many one-dimensional characters, but they are like unabashedly one-dimensional characters. They're like, we're just going to make the most like 1D characters you can, like the little girl who just blows stuff up. And it's like, all this character is going to be is a little girl that blows shit up. And that's all she needs to be. You know, like there's
Tiny Tina is in Borderlands 3 as well, by the way. She's just Tina now because she grows up.
Oh, cause she's big now.
she had her blow up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's one guy in Borderlands 3 who's just, he wears a cape and underwear and nothing else, and he's super ripped, and he's just always doing push-ups, and at one point he, like, messes up for someone else, and, like, he calls you on the comms or whatever, and I'm just, like, running around killing things, and he starts talking about how he's doing apology push-ups, and, like, you can hear him grunting while he's apologizing, like, I don't know, man, it made me laugh out loud more than once.
Yeah.
I mean, as I've learned throughout this pandemic, is if you're not blasting your quads, then you're not doing it right.
You're not doing it right.
Never not blasting, dude.
I play a female named Mose, who's like a gunner that hops in something called the Iron Bear, and she like gets in basically a mech suit that she can shoot stuff, right?
Yeah.
At one point she caught me so off guard because they have different like voice lines, right? And she's like, eat this or whatever. And at one point she's just like, suck my dick. And I was like, wait, what? What did she just say? like Yeah, you caught me.
Jamie gasped and his monocle fell into his glass of champagne. He was like, whoa?
Madam of Olgashi. The free DLC character in Borderlands 2 was the Necromancer. I don't remember her character name, but she too was like internet shitlord the character in the same way that I guess Mose is.
Yeah. Yeah, so the characters in Borderlands 2 are Axton, Gage, Krieg, Maya, Salvador, and Zero.
Who the fuck is Salvador?
He's the gun broker.
Right.
He drops a turret. Okay. Oh, no, he doesn't drop a turret, but he just goes, like, berserk. And he, like, taking damage heals him or something like that for a short
while. Yeah, and he can dual wield as well.
He's a Kimber. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Axton is the soldier.
I knew that.
Think about it. We'll get to Borderlands
names.
Too.
I can't even remember the names James had anymore, so I've already forgot those.
Yeah. So other capitalists found out about Pandora.
So memorable.
Yeah. Other capitalists found about Pandora, and they followed suit. This Dal shows up. They have Patricia Tanis. She's obsessed with the Vault and the Iridians. If you like Patricia Tanis, you'll like Borderlands 3, because there's a lot of expansion on her character and some really interesting developments. So she's awesome. She finds a fragment of the vault key on Pandora. So this is the first time they've found anything like this, and it's a huge step forward. So Atlas, the big evil corp, and their militia, the Crimson Lance, launched an attack on Dahl to get the vault key. So Dahl did their cost analysis and decided it was best to cut their losses and leave many of their employees stranded on Pandora, including Tanis.
we'll send you $1,200. Don't panic. Bye.
Yeah. No worries. Yeah.
And that sets the scene for Borderlands 1. So we have...
Right.
Yeah. Ancient people, and then the new people finding reverse engineering guns of all things. And we have a vault key. And Borderlands 1 starts. We have four Vault Hunters: Brick, Lilith, Mordecai, and Roland.
Right.
And then, right. Yeah.
I played Mordecai.
I was Lilith.
The only reason I didn't play Brick is so I could see how handsome Brick was. Because if you play as Brick, you never get to see Brick.
It's not a third-person shooter.
He has forearms. He's clearly using free weights because he's got really good wrists.
Yeah. Yes, he has great wrists.
And as push-ups guy in underpants will tell you, the only way to bulk your wrists is to use free weights.
Yep.
Bruh.
So we got Brick, Lilith, Mordecai, and Roland, and they're looking for the fabled vault. And Tanis is kind of their leader on this. So she has them do video game things, collect all three pieces of the vault. There's actually, she says there's four and sends them on a wild goose chase for the fourth one while she has all three and is putting them together. But our heroes make it back in time. And the vault is like going to be open soon, so there's kind of a rush to get all the pieces together because they're going to miss their window of 200 years to get the vault open.
Heading north
to
Alaska.
No time to ride. You got to go now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heading north to the vault. The rush is on.
Yeah. Yep. And so the vault's just about to open. The adventurers get all the pieces and open the vault, and they have to fight the destroyer. The destroyer, like, this is by design. It opens every 200 years so the destroyer can feed and stay sated within the vault. I don't know why they needed to feed, but that's what the Iridians designed it that
way.
Yeah,
God, we wouldn't want our giant alien monster to starve to death. We're not monsters. Like, what?
The destroyer comes back in Borderlands 3, so it may be that if it dies, it is reborn, so they need to keep it alive, but in the vault.
In the vault, okay. Yeah. It's
like the Romans did with Jesus, where the rock moves every 3 days, but yeah. They were just like, no, we gotta keep Jesus in there, or else he needs to come out to feed.
Well, you're not wrong, though, because they made the Romans made the mistake of killing Jesus, whereas if they'd kept him alive on the cross, would have just been stuck there, right?
Yeah, and imprisoned him behind that rock.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Send in some rabbits that are looking for guns every 7 days or something so you can eat.
Yeah. Tell the rabbits there's guns in the caves that Jesus is in. And
rabbits like two things, fucking and guns.
Fucking and guns, yeah. Like any red-blooded American.
Any red-blooded rabbit American.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so what you're saying is we should have fed Jesus to avoid him becoming more powerful.
The same level of maiming, but keep him alive on the cross.
Okay. Oh, God, guys. That's difficult because it's so high up.
It is a difficult. I'm not blaming the Romans. It is a tight line. Like, it's a tightrope. You know what I mean?
It's hard to have an exotic pet,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. An exotic pet, like the son of the Lord, you know?
I've got axolotls. They had the son of God. Yeah. It's very difficult to take care of.
Yeah. Next thing you know, you're Jesus King and you get murdered by your wife. And they make a Netflix special about her years later.
Jesus didn't do a good enough job hiding the tattoos on his arm.
Murdered by your wife. Yep. Carol Baskin killed Jesus.
To be fair, though, Jesus was drugging and raping men. So.
Oh.
All right, I'm going to move along to Borderlands 2. I think it's time to move on. So Borderlands 2, the game opens up with six vault hunters.
Right. You named them. Axton and Salvador, I remember.
Yes, so we got it. We're there.
Yeah. Gage, Krieg, Zero. Zero plays a big part in the third one, actually. He does a lot of, like, opening doors for you.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. You'd like launch an attack on a certain place and you fight alongside him, which is a lot of fun.
I mean, the most tedious part of any video game is opening doors, right?
Yeah. Well, it's like when you can't open it. He has a samurai sword. You have to like help him upgrade his sword so he can cut the next door kind of thing.
Zero was the first time I tried to beat Borderlands 2. That's who I played as.
He was the assassin one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a hard time with him because in the open world he was really great. You could do like a lot of sniping, and then like when you get up close you could do a slash or something like that, but whenever it came to bosses he was kind of squishy and didn't have a lot of ways to deal with giant, like the first boss, which is like a guy sitting in a cannon.
German guy or Wilhelm
Tink and Tank or something like that.
The first time I stopped playing Borderlands 2 is I got like halfway through it and I was like, it's so frustrating to play him alone. Like, it's so frustrating if I'm not matchmaking with, like, other people online, which is, like, I think how you're supposed to play Borderlands, probably.
It's much more fun.
But sometimes, honestly, I'm like, I just want to play a video game by myself. So, like, I just get home. And, like, I would matchmake fairly often, you know, and play with random people. And if Steve, my roommate, was home, I'd play with him. But then sometimes I'd be like, I just want to sit and play a video game by myself. And I'd play as this guy, and it was so frustrating. Because as a single player, you just couldn't get certain things done. And it was like, I know I'm a capable player, but it was, you end up in this valley and there's these these salamanders, I guess, like the final boss, spoiler, but they turn, they turn invisible and they like run up to you and hit you with electric damage. Yeah. And as him, I just could not deal with them. I was like, the sword was ineffective because you didn't know exactly where they were, and like the swings were so slow. It's like, obviously you couldn't snipe them. And I went down like the sniper tree, so all my perks were in sniping. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm just fucked and I can't beat this part on my own anymore.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried him first as well, and then switched to Axton, which I had more fun with because you can just throw a turret down and hide behind something while your shield goes back up.
When I got further, I played as Axton.
Yeah. So I did the same thing, but I beat the game as Maya, and then my second character was Axton, because Maya alone, you can't spec into any of her trees except for CC.
Oh, okay. There you go.
You fucking can't do anything by yourself.
Yeah. That's why I chose Moe's the gunner in Borderlands 3, because I was like, I don't want to have a bad time. I'm not going to play any of these weird classes. And I played most of the game alone until I got about halfway, and then I had two people, and I could have played anyone at that point. But it's fine.
Any of these weird classes like Siren, Fat Robot, or Irish Man. Irish Man seems too complex for me. I'm not really sure how to do it. I don't know whether to spec into beer or whiskey, so I'm just not even going to bother.
Beer, whiskey, or potato?
Yeah, well, don't spec into potato. And way too hard.
Everyone listening at home, I'm not racist. My friend Pete's last name is O'Donohue. So.
It is, yeah.
We're covered.
I approve of this message.
Yeah, so in Borderlands 2, the main bad guy is Handsome Jack. We talked about him, that he's funny. Like he eats while he insults you and all that fun stuff. And his plan is to open Pandora's second known vault and unleash the Warrior, a powerful Iridian monster controlled by whoever releases it. I think this was kind of a backup in case the destroyer got out. Someone could use the Warrior to defeat it.
I think I'm having a moment of clarity where I seem to remember us saying this the last time we talked about Borderlands, which was almost exactly three years ago, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we'd settled on he was like a defense against the destroyer if the destroyer ever got out, kind of thing.
That's what I had that memory too. I didn't see that clearly written whenever I looked it up, but I think we decided that, so that's
Lore Boys canon, baby.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. That's what you're for.
I don't think we would have called it Lore Boys canon at the time, but it's Lore Boys canon, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, so it hasn't been 200 years since Borderlands 1. It's just been a couple of years, I guess. And so how do we open a vault that you can only use the vault key every 200 years?
Wait 200 years.
No. So he's going to use Iridium to forcefully charge it back up so you could open it up again.
Okay.
Seems like a pretty obvious flaw in the defenses of this vault system, you know? Well, considering the planet's mantle. Was it mantle or its... crust, yeah. The mantle is made of iridium.
Yeah, a lot of iridium around there. it turns out that Jack can't just use the iridium, though. He also needs to use the power of a siren, which is pretty rare. Only six in the universe at any given time. As they know in Borderlands 2, we find out in Borderlands 3 there's seven. But Jack uses his daughter Angel, and eventually Lilith's siren powers to charge the key.
I don't know if this is going to come up, but was Angel not a false siren? Did he not just like juice her with alien magic to turn her into a siren, or was she legit?
She was a siren as far as I know, but she gets killed in the middle of the game. Like, yeah, I think
you kill her.
That's
as
your thing. That was like, I've been that far, and that's what I was describing at the beginning with those big pistons that you got to shoot, but it's like you break her out and then you shoot her so she can't be used, kind of thing.
Angel was a siren.
Then he's like, well, I'm going to take your girlfriend instead. And you're like, well, shoot. I don't want to kill her. I guess we'll just defeat the thing.
Yeah, and he kills Roland.
Yes. Yeah, he does kill Roland. But Angel was a siren. I have a list of all known sirens here, but she dies in Borderlands 2.
Okay.
So then Handsome Jack's like, well, I still need a siren. So he snatches Lilith.
Yeah.
And Mr. Steel Yo Girl.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And uses her powers to charge the key, which actually works. And he gets a key that works, and he makes a mad dash for the vaults. All the vault hunters follow. And he is successful in opening the vaults and summoning the warrior.
Behold, last boss, I summon thee.
Salamander.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we kill it, and then you can either execute Handsome Jack or leave the task to Lilith, because she gets stolen by him, and you get to make that choice, but he dies either way.
I was going to say, I don't remember making that choice. Fuck him. I'm not going to let an NPC take my fucking...
Yeah. So the end of Borderlands 2, which kind of leads up to Borderlands 3, is Brick and Mordecai arrive just as Lilith attempts to destroy the vault key. But instead of destroying it, she accidentally like presses a secret button that shows a map of the stars.
And, oh, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, that has several vaults marked on it. And Lilith remarks, "There ain't no rest for the wicked," which is the song that plays in it.
The elephant song.
Yeah, exactly. And the screen cuts to black. And that sets the stage for Borderlands 3, where there is a lot more traveling between planets and not just like one central place. Like, you're going all over the place for vaults, which yeah. I think is cool. Yeah.
And so, all the vaults have some sort of creature of horrible power in them?
Yes. Yeah, they always have guardians, which are like old Iridian things that have more shield than health. Like, they don't have a health bar, they only have shields, which is weird. I guess they're robots, probably ancient robots.
Well, I guess it's because the shields in Borderlands are probably presumably powered by Iridium in some way.
It makes sense. Yeah, they're all, anytime you get close to a vault, you'll see guardians, and then there's usually something powerful that's on the inside.
I would think shields would be reverse engineered from one of these constructs that Atlas found in the first place, right? Like, they came down to Promethea, and then we're like, oh, here's like a local, you know. Let's see how hard he is to kill, and then
let's ask him for directions and then murder him.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, I see, he's not that hard to kill once you get through this annoying layer of static electricity that keeps repelling my knife.
Yeah, a lot of things came out of that. They had the fast travel system is canonically from that tech.
That's true, because it does send you through the Doctor Who tunnel every time you fast travel.
Yeah. And die. When you die, you're like canonically rebirthed by
Oh yes, that's true.
There's like voice lines saying like all of your memories have been reconstructed from the last form of your body. You may feel woozy or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember liking those a lot, actually.
Yeah.
So when you die in Borderlands, you canonically die, and then are just
you do die.
You're just reconstructed, a la like Star Trek transporter, or
you're built atomized, from scratch,
atomized and reconstructed.
Yeah. Yeah, they just thankfully we uploaded all of your shame to the cloud and reassembled you. Thanks.
Treasured memories is like the folder.
Yeah, exactly. Treasuredmemories.txt. Yeah. The time I threw up on a teacher. It's just like awesome.
So, the start of Borderlands 3, you get to choose Amara, Moe's, Zane, and Flack, or FL4K. Amara is the Siren, Moe's is the Gunner, Zane is like the more stealthy / snipey one, and Flack is the Beastmaster.
Pets, right?
Yeah, pets. So like Mermy played Flack, I played Moe's, and Darnell played Amara. I haven't seen Zane in action, but all the other ones seem quite strong.
Yeah.
So they arrive on Pandora, only to find out that the Crimson Raiders have been put on the brink of annihilation at the hands of Children of the Vault. So the Crimson Raiders are what the Vault Hunt, it's the Vault Hunter team, basically. And the Children of the Vault have them on the back foot. And you meet Lilith there, who orders you to recover the Vault map that was lost years ago, but is in the hands of the Children of the Vault.
The mission in Borderlands 2 to save her, she's like she's Firehawk or something like that.
Yeah, she's her name's Firehawk, and her power is like shooting fire out of her hands. Yeah. I think she can like fly, and like fire goes all around her.
Yeah. And they made her way cooler when you don't play as her, which always made me kind of sad when I played Borderlands 2.
Yeah. She's like responsible for the rebellion or whatever, and they send you in.
Yeah.
It's after you meet Roland. Roland sends you in to save her, right? Something like that.
Yeah. And then with the help from Bandit Chief Vaughn, which is the guy wearing no pants and wearing a cape and doing push-ups all the time, and Patricia Tannis, the Vault Hunters are able to recover the map and start their journey on Sanctuary 3. So Sanctuary 3 is the third sanctuary. This is the town that you always go to, right? In Borderlands 1 and 2. But in 3, it's a spaceship.
Yeah, because
you launched Sanctuary into the sky in Borderlands 2.
In Borderlands 2, yeah.
Yep. And it's very much like a departure for, it's not the town, but a spaceship. It's very much just a spaceship, but it's where you go back to between missions. You can get your upgrades there. You can sell things, put it in the bank.
It's your role-playing game hub.
Yeah. And since there's multiple planets in this game, it makes sense that it would be not assigned to any given planet.
Yeah.
I mean, teleporting everywhere would just be fucking stupid.
especially when you could just be killed and reconstructed anywhere with your current memory.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, dying is faster than driving, so I just
Oh my god, a little uncomfortable, but yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you're leaving early? Yeah, gun pointed to temple.
Hey, you're not thinking about drinking and driving, are you? All right. Like, lifts gun to temple.
Take my keys. And just like, yeah, here, I'll take keys, hands gun, like, thanks.
I saw such a funny Twitch clip today where there's this kid and he's in VR chat. Okay. So there's this older dude. He's talking to a kid.
He's a sex pest.
The kid, no, not at all. The kid is just there and he's talking. And he's like, can't get his words out. He's like, I do it to fish in the... He's like stuttering on this one word over and over again. He's like, okay. And he just turns to the side and jumps off a cliff. Like, it sounds like a six-year-old kid can't finish his sentence. So he just headlong jumps off a cliff.
Oh, okay. I'm going to commit suicide.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, the children in the vaults, probably they're not actually children, but probably just as suicidal in the way that they act. They're
yes, children, notoriously suicidal.
Is one of the main antagonistic factions of Borderlands 3. They basically are all the bandits and psychos from Pandora, but they've been radicalized and set the task with the task of finding and opening every vault in the galaxy.
Well, more like organized, because from what I recall, the bandit faction was already basically full of suicidal lunatics.
Yeah.
Like, yes. prior to that. So someone's just pointed them at a target at this point.
Exactly, yeah. So okay. They're in the fallout of Borderlands 2, a lot of the leaders, like, you end up killing a couple of the bandit leaders, so a lot of these bandits are kind of lost and listless.
Yeah,
their logo, so the children in the vault, their logo's an upside down version of the vault logo. The vault logo's an upside down V, so now it's just a V.
No.
Oh,
oh my god.
Stupid. Yeah, so it's that upside down V you see on the cover of every Borderlands thing, but yeah, upside down again. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Subverting expectations or whatever you said, right?
Subverting your expectation of subversion was the phrase.
Yeah. So how did they get grouped up and organized? Definitely not by their own volition. It was an incentive led by the Calypso twins, who are the two main bad guys in Borderlands 3.
Yeah. Okay. The from what I understand, they're basically like, there's some boomer at Gearbox who just fucking hates TikTok so much and like wrote these characters to be like the most insufferable internet teens that have ever existed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like satirical influencers, basically.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're worshipped by their followers called the Twin Gods. Tyrene Calypso is the older of the twins, who is the main face of the faction and hailed as the god queen. She's like the main siren. They're both sirens, but she has the most powers because she's a woman.
Oh yeah, because she's legit.
And he was the brother who you said this before.
He's
a siren adjacent, is I believe what we called on.
Troy Calypso. So Tyrene Calypso and Troy Calypso is her younger brother, and her younger brother is in charge of the faction's propaganda and broadcasts, and is hailed as the God King. And they're both sirens. They have the tattoos. And their main thing is Tyrene will steal powers from another siren and then, like, give the scraps to her brother so he can absorb a little bit, too.
Oh, okay, cool.
But so, like, so wait, does... Because you mentioned before there's only seven in the universe at a time. Does the brother count against that total, or is he, like, a 7.5?
I was counting it out with Darnell while we were playing, and it never exceeds six at any given moment. Like, one always dies before the next one comes in.
Oh, so it's actually birthing new... And it's birthing new parasites, or it's birthing new parasites. It's birthing new sirens as they're taking powers away from other sirens.
Well, it's not clear. Like it can. No, not that.
Okay.
It's when they take the powers. Like in theory, there could be one siren. I guess if they took them all into themselves.
Until the other ones would be babies at best, right?
Yeah.
Like any new siren.
Very easy to kill.
Historically.
Yeah.
Not in the wizarding world, because Voldemort had a real hard time. Could you?
He might have just been like pathetic, though.
Could you imagine if Voldemort just used a knife? Like,
what an idiot using magic, right?
Right.
Used a knife, or what if he just rolled Harry Potter onto his face while he was comfortably asleep and he suffocated quietly?
or honestly, just did James and Lily and left Harry by himself.
Oh yeah, that's true.
as we've established,
take care of himself.
As we've established, children love suicide. So
yeah,
Harry Potter would have done himself.
Yeah. Voldemort's knife would be 13 3/4 inches with a phoenix feather in the handle, or whatever.
Exactly.
It goes. Yeah. So Troy, as for the sirens question, like I wouldn't think of it as like when they steal the powers, another one is born somewhere at all. That's never even like referenced. But just know that they can steal the powers. I don't think it's adding or subtracting from the total of sirens when they do.
She can steal the powers, then she channels parts of it into her brother, who, because he was like a conjoined twin at some point and like parasitic on her body, but they were born separately, then he can kind of absorb him. But he's not like a legit siren. So this is kind of like there can currently exist 7.2 sirens unless you kill him, because he kind of like absorbs. He's the dollar store brand siren.
I wouldn't go over 7.
Yeah.
They are two separate sirens. Yeah. They're two separate ones. No, he does. You're saying the opposite of what like we're agreeing, but he is a siren.
You're disagreeing with me, but acting like we're in agreement, and I don't like it, honestly.
I misunderstood.
I'm going to say the Lore Boys canon is every time that Tyreen takes someone's powers, a baby is born with a 6 sleeve.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All right. Nice. Yeah.
I'm in with that one.
And it's much more like, it's a wonderful life.
Yeah.
Every time a bell rings.
Yeah, exactly.
A baby gets his sleeve.
you look like just the kind of siren I would get. And she's just like, if you were never born, Tyreen, then fucking... Sorry, It's a Wonderful Grind is the movie that I'm thinking of right
now. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Wonderful 300 million guns.
Yeah. CBC every Christmas.
Yeah. So how did the Children of the Vault even like come to be? After the events of Borderlands 2, the Calypso twins began broadcasting the senseless murders they committed across the EchoNet they wanted fame and fortune. And what gets you fame and fortune on Pandora? Senseless murder.
Mukbang. Oh, dang. No, never mind.
Yeah, what's her name? The Catcher-eyed girl. She looks like she'd put on a mean mukbang.
Oh, the fat woman?
Yeah. She makes comments about you staring at her breasts in the game. And I looked, and then she called me out. And I was like, oh.
The game.
You're running this video game, Jamie? God damn it. Where can you fucking find relief?
Yeah, so the... The Children of the Vault have almost complete control of Pandora by the time the game starts, but it was Tyreen who had the broadcast and the charisma that worked wonders on the damaged minds of the Pandorans. The twins accepted all these bandits and raiders with open arms, saying, like, come join us. And they ended up gaining the Calypso twins a literal cult following as a result, and forming the Children of the Vault. So they were just basically leaders and visible and charismatic, so they were good enough to follow.
Nice. I mean, we've mentioned this a lot, like even recently, like that's how you get a cult going, is like you need people with a problem and then someone who craves power but has charisma, and then you can basically fucking do anything.
Did we talk about this recently, or were you discussing with somebody else about starting a cult? Because it doesn't ring a bell for me.
No, I'm pretty sure it was on the show.
No, I'm sure it wasn't problematic.
Ethan, I'm pretty sure it was on the show. Listen
to me. Any listeners out there who have problems in their lives right now, does the world seem like a scary and dangerous place to you? Feel free to reach out to Pete O'Donohue on Twitter.
Any of our followers can tweet me at Pete O'Donohue or loreboyspodcast@gmail.com, and I will send them guidance.
One of the ways that they spread their propaganda is there's radio towers that you can take down throughout the game, which is like a side quest.
Far Cry 5.
This may be Peter's radio tower right here.
Podcast is Pete's radio tower. So anyone listening at home wants to complete a Borderlands side quest, Darnell, just take out the lore boys.
Yeah, their influence can be seen far and wide. There's recruitment posters everywhere in the galaxy. There's propaganda towers. It says even news and music from these towers, although I didn't hear it in my playthrough, but maybe if I found one of their radios, I could listen into some of the music.
Oh my god, all they broadcast is pop country. All I want is a truck and jeans. Shit.
Yeah, so they now are organized. It's a cult of personality, like the song. where the leaders use the powers in mass media and propaganda to gain worship. Like we said, there's
ridiculous
satirical take on modern influencers. So they're exaggerated forms of attention-hungry online celebrities.
Tyrese hands like the Guardian of Pepsi, and this is like, wow, we solved the problem, guys.
Yeah. Just all these protesters. Honestly, where is What's-Her-Face in at a time like this in the world, everything going on? Like, couldn't all those protesters use a nice, refreshing cold Pepsi?
Is it Kylie Jenner?
It was one of them. I don't know.
One of them. I don't know.
I don't remember.
How many Pepsis? Over 300 million Pepsis in Borderlands, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're procedurally generated Pepsi is the thing. So you have four possible adjectives, so you might end up with like new cherry diet Pepsi or something.
Oh, yeah,
like
that's
that.
True.
Right, right.
But then there's also the Pepsi subsidiaries, so you also have like 7-Up, and then you have like new diet cherry 7-Up.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Well, Mountain Dew is elemental damage.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Specifically.
Yeah.
Ice T fires two bullets at the same time, or it's the Jacobs one because
Ice T is in the game. Ice T
the person.
Oh, the rapper.
He plays a character in Borderlands 3 who was actually very funny. And
oh
then
my god.
It's Ice T makes it even better too. Great.
I would think that Crush is elemental damage because you have the orange, you have the cherry. You have the pink. And I would think that Mountain Dew would be the explosive damage because of Baja Blast, right?
Right. Baja Blast would be the legendary drop with like the guaranteed good roll.
Exactly. Oh, ask not for who for whom the Baja Blast, it blasts for thee.
I was in, just a quick tangent about that. I think I was in like Heart Tech's Discord. Also, hello if you guys are listening. I know I haven't been present in a while. I kind of blacked out on social media a little bit. And they were just like, oh no, it was Dakota. Never mind. We were playing Destiny and someone was saying just like, yeah, apparently if you drink 700 glasses of Baja Blast, it will kill you. But it's like cumulative, meaning like I could drink 699 and then on my deathbed, I could be at the hospital and just be like, give me a cup. I have blasted my last Baja. And it just killed me. I have no idea who said it. It was just one of the people that they know in Destiny, like in that Discord. Fuck me, man. That just killed me.
Yeah.
I've never had Mountain Dew, so.
Really?
Well, yeah.
Wow.
You're not a real gamer.
I didn't grow up with a lot of fast food or soda.
Soda, never. But I used to go to my friend Bobby LaBerge's place and his family. He grew up with soda always. So they always had like big, those 2-4 crates, like just the box with the plastic on top of various types of soda. So.
No.
So the cult also gains influence from actual religious cults too. They use language like heretic. Some of their troops are like fanatics or martyrs. They build big religious buildings in the name of the Calypsos. There's a holy broadcast center. There's even a cathedral for the twin gods. So it's religious based as well.
Okay, not just Pepsi.
No. And The twins constantly crave to increase their already impressive subscription count through broadcasts that are directed to their followers. They set up daily live screams, which is a play on live streams.
Yeah. Very funny. Clearly, the writing team was out that day.
Can you guess what they would have instead of Let's Plays?
I think I actually know this. I've heard it before. It's a Let's Slay.
Let's Flays. Let's Slay was a good guess.
Let's Slay was a good guess.
I had heard something like that.
I think Let's Memes was a good guess, too. thank you. Thank you, anonymous listener.
Yeah.
if we have an in-studio like, anonymous listener.
Or Ethan on air, just donate to our Patreon and you can get into the Discord.
Not only do they just broadcast themselves, whenever you mess up as the Vault Hunter, they will broadcast that over and over again. So, like, there's something that happens in the game that is a clear failure of yours. And whenever you, like, it's the live streams are so dumb. Like, you get to a giant screen and it's like, awooga, awooga. And, like, someone dying and, like, whoop, 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 whoop. Like, just, yeah. it's so over the top. But I guess, like,
the Hanna-Barbera fucking noises.
Yeah.
Like,
straight up Three Stooges, right?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And like slow mo's of the same thing over and over again. It's like the TV in that movie where everybody becomes stupider over time because the smart people stop having
Idiocracy.
Sex.
Idiocracy.
Yeah, that's right. It's like the TV from that. And I had a couple laughs at it.
That movie's great. I watched it at 1.5 times speed on YouTube because it avoided copyright. So the entire thing was like 40 minutes long.
Honestly, that movie's pretty good. I think I would like it more if it was 40 minutes long, you know?
Yeah, same.
On YouTube, as far as I know.
Yeah, there you go. But Peter does not condone piracy.
Yeah.
neither do the Lore Boys as a brand. Yeah.
You wouldn't download a dystopian future.
Yeah. Idiots. Of course I would.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the cult uses a tier-based membership system, subscriber tiers on like Patreon that we have, or
do you mean like something crazy like $3, $9, and $15?
Add something like patreon.com/theloreboys, for example.
Yeah.
If we were to do what these people do.
Sorry, not to go off again, just super quick. Do you remember when we were setting up our first charity stream a couple years ago, and you and I and like Ethan ended up on like some fucking Patreon, and it was just like, here's my one tier, here's my three tier, here's my four tier, and there was like a five tier that all it said was feet.
Yeah. I definitely do remember that. Yeah. I don't remember where we were, but...
Yeah, we stumbled on some chick's Patreon, and it was just like a bunch of normal shit, and then feet, and it was like, okay. Yo, if somebody wanted to pay money to see my feet, I would fucking do it.
Yeah, hit us up. Crunch at us.
Crunch at me. Hardcore. Also, hey, I'm an OnlyFans. I jerk off every day.
Yeah. Who cares if a million people watch? You can tell Pete is now unemployed and has been for a few months now.
For a little bit. For a little while. Yeah. Doing just fine. Enjoying myself. But if you want to see my feet, though.
So the version of feet pics or Pete fix feet pics. Yeah. Over here. Yeah. It's Iridium tier membership. So if you're high enough tier, instead of getting to get in a Discord call with Pokimane, you can be teleported directly to the Vault Hunters to fight them in person.
Oh, beautiful.
Isn't that suicide?
Oh, yeah. They want that. Okay. Or they can become empowered mutants known as the Anointed. So these Sirens, the two Siren twins are stealing powers, but then they can also like implant powers into some of their followers that make them big and purple and fight real good. And then when you beat it, they turn into like an Iridian statue that you break and get Iridium from.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
And you can use that on cosmetics.
On cosmetics, or you can fill it into your gun and just
so you, a bunch you, of guns. You can, oh, right. So you can kill these simps and then from their corpses fashion yourself a sick new outfit.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yes, pretty much. Nice,
nice. Well, I've been playing Monster Hunter World, and I know in high tier, the simp beta has the best decoration slots, so you can craft the best endgame gear out of all of that.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but you do need to kill the arch-tempered simp like five or six times.
Oh, yeah. So in order to provide themselves with weaponry, the children of the vault rummaged up whatever they could find to make firearms of their own. So these bandit guns that were kind of all put together haphazardly in Borderlands 2 are now children of the vault weapons, or COV weapons. And they kind of look like a bunch of trash put together, but they have huge magazine sizes, unlimited magazine sizes.
Either. I resemble that remark, honestly.
You resemble that remark.
Yeah, a whole bunch of trash put together.
Okay.
That's also a Space Jam quote, because I was bringing it back.
There you go.
All right.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
So there's unlimited quotes from Space Jam, and there's unlimited magazine sizes on these guns. They just shoot forever, and they get hotter over time. So you can't. They can overheat if you fire too long.
So you're saying they don't shoot forever?
They don't. Well, they can shoot forever if you took enough breaks in between.
Is that forever?
Doesn't that kind of apply to anything, though?
Yeah. Consider my expectations subverted. If
yeah, your subversion of expectations subverted. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Fair.
Method? Like you're standing waist deep in water. Could you shoot forever?
So, for example, Moe's, the character I play, has a passive ability to regain ammo. Just like you get 5% of your ammo back every 1 second.
Okay.
So you just never have to reload. So you can just be shooting, and if you like don't shoot too fast, you can just never have to reload and just keep shooting.
Nice. If you're responsible, if you're conservative with your bullets, you could probably do this forever.
Yeah, pretty much if you just stop shooting in between moving from target to target, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
As long as you're not just, like, holding it down. Yeah,
I would love a gun that I could, though. Just hold it down forever.
Oh, yeah. The Children of the Vault is the primary enemy in Borderlands 3. There's, like, a few other twists and turns that are best experienced by just playing the game. You meet an Indiana Jones-type character who ends up being really important to the lore. There are other sirens that I didn't mention here, too, that you get to learn about. It's on sale on the Epic Game Store right now. You can get 1 and 2 for free. So if you want to add me up, it's TLB_JAYMIL. That's my Epic Games and my Shift logo. So or Shift ID. You can find me there. Nice. And that's Borderlands 3, guys.
Very nice.
I'll put the context for it at the very least. Play it yourself, idiot. It's on sale.
Yeah, dummy. Come on. What are you doing?
What are you waiting for?
What are you doing? It's listening to a podcast? Fun. Go play video games.
For Randy Pitcher to embarrass himself? Don't worry about it. He already did.
I had more fun than I expected to with the game. Like, I thought, it'll just be like another Borderlands where you shoot guns and do your thing. But I finished the story now, and I genuinely would play tonight if I had the time. I want to play right now.
Are you going to eventually pursue... Like, are you going to do like a gear pursuit? Is there like a post-game super boss of some description that you need to go after?
Pete, your head's so in the Monster Hunter world right now.
It's a grindy game.
Not all video games are like that, Peter.
But I think there is end game. So I don't know what the end game is. I finished the game, and then I was like, cool, now I'm going to do other things and write the podcast. But as far as I know, I was asking Darnell, I was like, okay, what a really cool thing for Borderlands 3 is you have procedurally generated guns, right? Make procedurally generated vaults. So now your end game is you go from vault to vault to vault. You can make, I don't know, a few different archetypes for bosses, and it could keep things fresh, and you could add different ways of doing that, that it would be a little bit different every time, right?
Yeah.
And Darnell was like, okay, so when you beat the game, there's something called Mayhem Mode. It's not exactly that, but it is procedurally generated. I haven't tried it yet.
Oh, cool.
Cool. So there's something there. There is end game, and there's two... there's two DLCs that are out as well that I haven't tried, but there's a lot to do. I think the max level is 58.
Gearbox, if you add a hardcore mode, maybe I'll play. But
yeah.
without the threat of permadeath, I don't know.
Fair enough. Take it off.
Yep. Well, it's fun stuff. And if you want to play with me, come and add me up.
Cool. If you want to play with me, tweet me at EthanTheDeadMan. My Steam name is, I think, still a gendered pronoun.
It is. Yeah. Because I get the notification every once in a while because we have family sharing on.
Yeah.
It just, I think it's every time you turn on your computer. It's probably, just like, oh, gendered pronouns games are available to play through family sharing. I'm like, I fucking know.
thank you.
They don't get taken away.
I'm not playing a ton of multiplayer games right now. I bought Polybridge 2, so I've been playing Polybridge 2. Maybe I'll stream it sometime. That feels like it'd be an okay game to stream.
Game you marry multiple bridges?
Yeah, exactly. It's you build bridges that you'd like to fuck. Bilfs, as they're called. So you can find me at Ethan the Dead Man on Twitter, and that's probably the best place to do it.
I'm at Pete O'Donohue on Twitter, and then at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram and theloreboys.com. Check us out. I do want to thank everybody, because I know Manscaped was doing just like a suggest people to sponsor. We don't give a shit whether a big creator or a little creator. Thank you for everybody who tweeted at them, contacted them on Facebook. I had some people send us screenshots on Instagram. Dalton, I believe, sent us a screenshot on Instagram where he was like, yo, I don't have Twitter, but the Lore Boys are absolutely sick. So thank you for everybody who reached out to Manscaped. One, to clean our balls. Two, to sponsor us. It's fantastic. And thank you to Phil over at Deck 13 for being just like a really cool guy to talk to on Twitter for a little while.
Yeah. Those interactions with you, Phil, at Deck 13, that was like so cool and so fun to hear from you and talk to you and goof with you about your own game and how we kind of got real loose and silly with something that you probably poured your heart into.
Dude, yeah. That was so funny. Like, that was a highlight. Like, the fact that he listened to the whole thing and made references to it, too, and, like, to his own game.
My favorite part was when it was just like, how long have Ethan and Jamie known each other? And I'm like, I don't fucking know, like 20 years? He's like, how old are you guys? I thought you'd be between 27 and 29. I'm like, yeah, we're all 28. Wow, I can't wait to be your age so dick jokes are funny again. I was like, oh my God, roasted.
So shout out anyone listening who doesn't know Deck 13, go out and just buy The Surge. Just do it. They're good people. Anybody who wants to support us rather than Deck 13, although you should want to support both if we're being honest, we do, of course.
Until we have a third game, you only need to support us. Exactly. I got no new.
We have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys. We plugged it in the middle of the show, and I'm going to plug it again now because we love your money and we love you guys. No, seriously, thanks so much to everyone who does continue to support us. You guys pay for the show, and it's amazing. It's a beautiful thing that we can keep doing and not have to worry about. And, you know, as our lives, as Peter quits his job, I promise you he does not make any money off this show. None of us really do, but it's really cool.
We don't have a cash out option. Our Patreon just keeps like accumulating subscriptions. We have no way to get it yet.
we have dozens of dollars, I tell you, dozens.
Exactly.
Anybody who doesn't trust Patreon and doesn't trust the fact that we're just bankrolling it all and hoarding it all until we can finally cash out and skip to Mexico.
It's the premier podcast of the Cayman Islands, don't you know?
Exactly. And we do, of course, have Lore Boys Cayman, or Lore Boys Prime, as it's sometimes called, which is your way to off the books support us, as it were. You don't have to claim it. You don't have to report it on your taxes. And you don't pay any tax if you subscribe to Lore Boys Prime. So
more importantly, neither do we.
Yeah, more importantly, exactly. But this week, I mean, we love giving back. So we really want to hear from you guys. This week, all we're charging is a letter and, of course, $12.50. What we want in the letter is we want to hear about your guys' problems, your guys' lives, what's going on. And we just want to tell you, we're starting something called the Lore Boys Foundation. And the Lore Boys Foundation is devoted entirely to helping you. For every $12.50 you'll send, we will solve one of your problems. And then at the end of it all, we're all getting in a spaceship and we're leaving Earth. Okay.
And we're going to start a YouTube channel as well. A second one, not just the Lore Boys archive. We're going to start Lore Boys U, which will be suspiciously conservative, but don't worry about it. It's fucking legit.
Don't worry about it. Just send us the $12.50 and sign over rights to your power of attorney and you can join the Lore Boys U.
Someone just sent me an article saying that monkeys that they were doing COVID testing on escaped the labs and are running free in India right now. So we're going to get working on that spaceship because we're going to need it.
We're going to have a spaceship any day now. So anyone listening at home who's ever thought, if you've ever had the thought, boy, I have a problem, you should get in touch with us, and we can help you solve that problem as long as you swear fealty and complete obedience to us, the Lore Boys. And that would constitute a Lore Boys.
Lore Boys.
Lore Boys.
Out.
Goodbye. Out. Out.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.